Well, it's a bright sunny day in Providence, Rhode Island, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we are at the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center. Thank you to my two men to my left, the founders of the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center, Dan Murphy and Jay Murphy. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us. Actually, thanks for coming here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And you got Jay there. He's got his pads. He's all ready to go. Our next guests are Nick Adams and Andrew Shearer of CareThread. I got it right, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. It's off the mic. I don't get it right. It's
perfect.
Okay. Tell us about CareThread. Wow.
CareThread is a cloud-based mobile secure communications platform for healthcare systems. We eliminate the who's on first, what's on second runaround that is prevalent in U.S. hospitals today. And 80% of serious medical errors are a direct result of miscommunication between two or more people exchanging the care of patients. And so Andrew and I got together because Andrew understood technologically how to build such a system with his deep background. And I grew up in a family of doctors and nurses and have seen it on that human side. And so that's what CareThread does. And we solve communication problems to make it easy to communicate accurately.
So it's a mobile application?
Correct.
And so web-based. Let's say Jay was in the hospital, which is a possibility.
Yeah.
We're the medical team,
yeah.
And we all have different access to Jay. You're saying I can pull up on my phone what you're doing, you pull up what I'm doing, so we're all sort of coordinated together?
That's exactly right. And because of our ability to integrate with electronic medical records, right, that's the sort of digital file cabinet that houses Jay's records.
Right.
Where people, you know, put labs, they order tests, they write notes. We create patient-specific chat threads. And if you think of how we message in our normal lives, at the end of the day, we leave this interview, we all leave with our phones. We all take our messages with us. But at a hospital, who's the one person remaining? It's the patient. So CareThread ties the conversation of care to the patient, and then we manage the care team as they come on and off shifts based on integration with scheduling, based on ideas of sort of nominal teams, like who's the doctor and who's the nurse that signed on for that patient in the electronic chart. And then we track who communicates with whom about which patient. And over time, we build this care team roster. In fact, it's called the care team mapping. It's our patent pending sort of magic, if you will. And now we have a real-time dynamic roster of who needs to know which piece of information. And that allows us to now turn around and push or inject system-generated messages into the conversation of care, notifying the right person.
So you have a gestalt sort of the whole patient experience,
right,
for each doctor or right, physician or medical.
That's right. So instead of always going to the record and logging in and looking, retrieving, and if you think of a file cabinet, you open it, you go into the file, you pull out the file, you know, number 12 in the third hanger, you go to the 12th page and you write a note, and then I return that. Well, how does Andrew know what I put and where? And CareThread, we keep track of that.
So I'm thinking about it. I have just enough medical experience to make myself dangerous. I'm thinking about an incentive that the hospitals might want it, but also that the insurers might want the hospitals to have it because it creates greater efficiencies, which lowers insurance costs as well. Is that true? Do you put pressure on both sides
of
the sandwich?
But we don't go to your standard commercial health insurance like Aetnas and Cignas, right?
Right.
We actually are more interested in the self-owned, wholly owned captive market. So like big health systems, they own their own indemnity groups that often are based in the Cayman Islands, and it's their malpractice, it's their property casualty, but it takes time to generate the data to show them that actuarially, if you're a customer, right, if your wholly owned company that owns you, that you now insure, uses you, you're going to drive down medical error rates because you're efficient. But there's certainly a qualitative connection. You have anything to add to that?
No, it's just that I think we want to have, they're very data focused, the insurance companies. So we are working to build a better catalog of data so we can sort of prove outcomes more. And the initial big efficiency gain is for the hospital directly, and the second step is more the insurance side.
Like a good example, for instance, if we're going to talk about like how does CareThread bear that efficiency and bring that to our customers. Whenever a radiological image, right, a CAT scan, an MRI, an X-ray, something with dye, with contrast is ready to be read, it gets put into your electronic medical record. A lot of times, though, people on the care team don't know it's there. Right, and they might not know it's there for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, and then suddenly, an attending, a physician will say, "Hey, hey, that let's go see if that's back. Oh, it is, but it's 6:30. I can't discharge you now until tomorrow. And some of our customers have calculated that like 20% of patients who had an image available to be read and to be looked at by a doctor or a radiologist could have been discharged the same day.
That's why I was thinking about the insurance and the hospitals.
That's
because
right.
Because hospitals want to turn beds over quicker.
Absolutely. So that's the operational ROI. Another area is antimicrobial stewardship. You know, resistance to antibiotics.
That really rings off your tongue, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, I've said it 1,000 times. You know, antimicrobial stewardship.
Yeah. We're very good at saying that phrase right now.
Yeah, we are. Like for what we do is we help track the prescribing of restricted antibiotics, and then we basically use time-based sort of escalation rules to keep the care team in the loop to say, well, this was an empirically prescribed, meaning we don't have a positive result yet of what bug it is. So I think this is the best antibiotic, but I'm not sure. You don't want to keep somebody on that for too long. So at 24, at 48, CareThread automatically loops in the infectious disease consultant or the PharmD, whose job it is to review holistically all of the various antibiotics that are being prescribed by everybody in the entire hospital. And so if you think of a human having to keep up with that and go to every patient and every chart and look at, well, show me which order, which antibiotic got put in most recently and keep track of that on a time base because I have to turn it over in 48 hours.
Wouldn't this be relevant to psychological treatments as well, where there's a multidisciplinary team working with a patient?
Yeah, and it's actually one of the things that we can do. There's a statute called 42 CFR, which is for behavioral health. So people who are struggling with drug addiction, with mental illness, we can segregate health systems are required to by law to really limit and maintain tight control over who has access to see that information.
Right.
And CareThread's able to do that through our permissioning. We know who needs to know which piece of information about which patient.
So, Nick and Andrew, who are you guys? How did you get to where you are today? What's your background?
Well, I worked for a while had a computer background. I worked for a while in healthcare IT in various hospitals, doctor's offices, and I kept seeing the same problem over and over, which was that the electronic medical record was great at storing data, collecting it for billing purposes, but in terms of the day-to-day treatment of a patient, there were all these things that people inside the hospital needed to do that the EMR just wouldn't do for them. And so CareThread kind of came out of that experience because I was building all these little sort of one-off systems to solve this particular communication problem when working for hospitals, but they're all instances of the same problem, which was that there's no good way to communicate in real time among a care team, and there's no good way to know who is taking care of a patient in a particular capacity at a particular time, push that message to them. So CareThread is really designed as a solution to that.
So was this your first entrepreneurial experience?
Actually, it was the first one I wanted to do, but I wanted to sort of gain some experience with a startup, so I worked as an employee in a couple and before founding CareThread.
But this is your first time being responsible for payroll?
Yes.
Big change. Yeah. And what about you?
I grew up in Wisconsin, like I said. Grew up in a family of physicians and doctors. My father, my father's father, my mother, my sister, my stepfather, my mother-in-law, they're all doctors.
You're the black sheep.
I married a nurse. I wasn't going to marry a doctor.
Right.
I learned that. And I grew up in medicine, healthcare, lived in hospitals, majored in chemistry, and I ended up getting into biotech, pharmaceutical sales. Sold to big institutions, state and federal prison systems, Department of Defense, just sort of understand how to navigate. And so through a mutual friend of ours, we were connected and sort of, hey, this guy that I know is starting this thing and needs a guy in business. And I, at the time, had seven and a half month old twin daughters and was on the road 4 days a week and had been for 4.5 years on a regular basis. And it just was too much. The money was great. And so I tried to sort of step back down to a daily level, and my company at the time just couldn't accommodate that. And so I took advantage of relationships and some time off and Mark, you know, talking with people who know within my network as well, doing a lot of market research, and we sort of decided to actually make it formal and incorporate and found a business. And then over about a half a year to a year, I moved my family out here from Wisconsin, and we've been at it ever since.
So this is really, for both of you, your first entrepreneurial experience. How did you meet?
We met through this mutual friend of ours, and he said, you guys got to meet. This guy has the chops and the technology and the understanding, and I've got the business and commercial side, though. You know, there's the things I didn't know that I didn't know. I'm glad I didn't know them. You know, it's sort of been like a doctoral. We've been through a PhD program, if you will. And now we're finally, as a business, it's like, wow, we've got customers who pay us for this thing that we built that was an idea in his head. And, you know, on a whiteboard then, and then, you know, a SketchUp, and then a MVP. And so it's been a pretty neat process for us.
So what are some of the biggest obstacles you're facing in the new year?
Well, it's like any startup, when you go into healthcare, you have to convince some CIO at a hospital that's 24/7, 365 on to become your first customer. And then you have to convince the second one. And you run into the sort of, it's like you can't hunt elephants with a bow and arrow. And so you really want to right size your profile of your customer, because you know you need to be able to find customers that can sustain you. You know, if it's too small, there's not enough meat on the bones. If it's too big, you know, it can turn and sit down on you, and you're squashed. And on the flip side of that, it's finding ways into the market where people have footprints in the market and might want or need more to sell into their customer base. But really firming up our ability to be redundant on an internal side, because it's like, I mean, I had a CIO of a huge health system look at me once and said, "You check all 8 of my boxes of my nirvana of, you know, real-time cloud-based integrated mobile groupware for care teams." And we're like, "Well, great, like, let's do a deal, like, give me an opportunity." And he said, "What are you gonna do if he gets hit," looking at Andrew, "gets hit by a bus?"
Right.
And I said, "Well, I would weep, and then I would call our lawyer, and I would say, I'd
suggest an ambulance."
Yeah.
Yes. That first.
Sorry. Actually,
Andrew's not going. He looks pretty healthy to me.
No, but the idea is that like a real concern for any business in healthcare, fintech, and I'm not saying that all businesses or healthcare and fintech in certain markets of our economy, like, they're critical. Like, you can't go down. You might have, like, in some consumer apps, it goes down. You know, it disrupts some things, but it's like, are people going to?
Now, healthcare, you can't.
You can't. Right. And so what we're really focused on is, how do we become redundant? How do we have our processes, our procedures in place? What's our fallback plan? What's the fallback plan of the fallback plan?
Interesting.
And if we think about it that way, it gives assurance to our customers and to investors too, that, wow, these guys, they might be small, but they've put together a business, you know, that can make it.
So, Nick and Andrew, if someone wants to find Care Thread, how would they do that?
First, I'd say go on the web and go to www.carethread.com. You can find us at CareThread Twitter handle. On LinkedIn, we're at CareThread. Or is it a link? Just search for CareThread on LinkedIn. And then you can also send an email to me at nick@carethread.com, or any variation of my first and last name and various aliases. And I won't give you my mobile number out directly, but I'd love to have a chat.
Great. And our hosts, Jay and Dan Murphy. Dan, if somebody wants to find the Hatcher Entrepreneurial Center and learn about entrepreneurship, how would they find you?
You can find us on Facebook, Hatch Entrepreneur Center. You can also find us on Twitter or Instagram at HatchRI. I just wanted to add a little comment about your business, is that the first thing I thought of was veterans. And I thought about the mental health, and I thought about what we're really not doing for them, and thought about how CareThread could really take that to the next level. And if you'd like me to introduce you to the Veteran Administration, I am connected to them.
I would like that, actually. It'd be really interesting, because I've done a lot of research, having previously sold into the VA in my former life. And I know that the buying process and procurement process for the, you know, the selling into the VA can, for a little company, can, you know, can be a full-time job.
Very arduous.
But they have some carve-outs for innovative new technologies being applied in places where there's also medical education. So if we can find that, I'd love
that.
That's
good. You guys will take that offline. You come back again and tell us how you're progressing?
You bet.
Great, because we're going to do more shows.
We're literally 2 blocks this way.
And we're literally right here.
Yeah, we're not moving.
Well, again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm hosted by the Murphys, Dan and Jay. Great tag team. And the Hatch Entrepreneurial Center. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.